Welcome to Stage Right Radio on HD3 Alt 88 from WAER Syracuse. I'm your host and producer, Stephen Shepard, and here in the studio, we have folks from the Central New York Playhouse production of Next Fall, happening this fall. We have director Liam Fitzpatrick and actors Abel Searer, Will Massaclat, Nick McLean, Corey Taylor, and Laura Stisser. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Thank you.
Hello.
So let's go around the table. Can you introduce yourself and the role you play in the show?
I'm Liam Fitzpatrick, and I am the director of the show.
I'm Abel Searer, and I'm playing Adam.
Will Massaclat, and I'm playing Luke.
Nick McLean, I'm playing Brandon.
I'm Corey Taylor, I am playing Holly.
I'm Laura Stisser, I'm playing Arlene.
So what is the premise of this play?
The play is by Jeffrey Knofts. The show opens in a hospital waiting room, and someone has had an accident, and we find out that it is Luke. He's an actor, and he is currently coming out of surgery, and he has two people waiting for him, a woman named Holly and a man named Brandon. Then we find out that they are some of his friends, and his mother walks in, his father walks in, and his boyfriend walks in, but some of them don't know that the other ones exist. And then the rest of the show is told over the 17-hour course of how that day goes, and we go back to 2004 when they met, and their relationship is told in flashback.
Why did you want to put on this show at CNYP?
I saw the play in March of 2010 on Broadway, and I really loved that it was a conversation about being a person of the LGBT community and also dealing with having a religion, having a faith or not, and also that it was a play where one member of the gay couple was in the hospital and it had nothing to do with AIDS. Not that there aren't incredible, important plays written about gay couples where one of them is in the hospital due to complications with AIDS, but it really felt like it was a moving forward in the story of the community. And that was my first reaction to it when I was 19, and now I'm 28, and putting it on and finding out that it's actually about so much more. The play just really stuck with me, and I've been trying to get it produced in town for 3 or 4 years, and actively did it this time, and here we are with this incredible cast, and the show has really turned out to be something pretty special that I'm pretty proud of.
Everyone else in the room, how would you describe your character?
Okay, I'll go first, yes. Being the rookie on the cast.
Yes.
I play Arlene, Luke's mother. And she pretty much puts the fun in dysfunctional, I have to say. She is definitely a free spirit, has been on a very rocky road her entire life. Not the best mother, will never get the Mother of the Year award, but still has a big heart and tries really hard.
So I'm Nick, and my character is Brandon. And one of the more interesting sides of him that comes out in the show is the fact that he's a gay man, not necessarily overtly gay, but
gay-ish.
Gay-ish, gay-friendly.
Gay-ish.
I don't think gay-friendly is the best word.
It's a line from the show.
Yeah, it's a line from the show. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then forget what I just said.
No, but you're right. I would never call him gay-friendly otherwise.
Nope.
There's a conversation that comes up. Both him and Luke are potentially gay and believers. They both have different perspectives of what that means. For Brandon, he's a little bit more of a fundamentalist in the sense that there is a line and you don't cross it. Whereas with Luke, that line isn't necessarily as defined as it is for Brandon. In the show, Adam and Brandon actually have a conversation about that. As somebody who doesn't necessarily believe, how do you live with somebody who does when what they're doing makes you feel like you're worse than them?
How do you live with someone with such different beliefs than yourself?
Yeah. I don't want to speak for Abel, but I don't think Adam's character necessarily believes that there is a God.
Come see the show to find out.
Yeah. So they have almost polar opposite perspectives on it. And so how do you resolve that? And Brandon is kind of the go-between for that, because Brandon is a friend who's been with Luke for a while.
What's really kind of fun that you two started talking is that you are the two people that share no stage time with Luke in the play, other than when he's in the hospital bed. We don't ever get to see you two interact with him.
True.
I think Holly is very real. She's very true. She's very loyal. I feel like she wants to understand all of these things, but she doesn't necessarily believe in all of these things. But I think she does try, especially with the whole Christianity thing. I think she's really trying to understand why he would think this way while still kind of having her own set of beliefs and being very loyal to her best friend, Adam, who is like, but this is silly. She's very caring. She's very sympathetic. And she's worldly in a way. She wants to know everything. She wants to know why things are the way they are. And she's very hungry.
Not gonna lie, did not expect you to end with that.
Well, it's a line in the show.
Comes to the show I, no
but also my stomach just went. So
I heard that. I thought it was
freed me.
Corey's very method.
I thought that was me for a second.
It came through the microphone.
A good one.
I'm Will. I'm playing Luke. I think he's happy-go-lucky in a lot of ways until his faith gets brought up. But for the most part, I think he's relatively chill and tries to keep things mellow until he's kind of pushed past that.
Non-confrontational.
In a way, but he still stands his ground when he feels like he needs to defend what he believes in, because I think that's how Luke has gotten to where he's gotten. He has a strong sense of his faith, and that's helped, I think, ground him in his life. So he's not afraid to defend that, you know, if confrontation comes up, but he's going to try to avoid it, try to not get there in the first place.
This is Abel. I'm playing Adam. Adam gets in his own way a lot. He is in this relationship with Luke and just won't really allow himself to fully give in to being happy, and manages to set roadblocks in his way professionally, personally. A lot of the others have talked about the role that faith plays in this show. I think it's less for Adam about how he feels about his own personal faith and more that he just uses it as this thing that can be an obstacle between him and Luke and between happiness that he could have with him, and just letting things be and relaxing into a happy life. The journey that he goes on really makes him question a lot of the ways that he's viewed the world, a lot of the ways that he's lived his own life, and what that means for choices going forward.
So for everyone, what has been a highlight of this rehearsal process?
One of my favorite parts of the show when I've directed something is when everybody kind of takes what they're doing and really makes it their own and has really strong perspectives on it. And it turns more into a conversation and a collaboration rather than me saying, go walk over stage right, sit down there, stand up, deliver this line that way, which I try to never do. It really became a conversation and creating what was going on stage with everyone in the room together. And I look forward to seeing what everybody does do on stage, but it started to really take shape as a group of people in a room rather than just one person telling everybody what else to do.
It's a collaboration of visions, not just a singular vision.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, Laura, you said you're a rookie, but this is my first play, period. So, I mean, for me, it's honestly just fun to be doing it for the learning experience. And
really?
I've only ever done the musicals, yeah. So like, to
oh,
not,
I was
going
to say,
have,
I thought I saw
oh, yeah,
you on stage before.
So I've done stuff,
it's
but
like... It's like an evil twin or what?
It was all a mirage. You know?
Yeah, and it feels like a somewhat naked to not have the music there, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I
just got to talk through this whole thing.
Right. I mean, not to mention the photo shoot you were just in which you were just in the hospital again.
Yes. There was, yes.
Was it cold that day?
Luckily, not too cold, no. It was cloudy and a little breezy, but a little wet, but it wasn't that
It
bad.
Was refreshing.
It happened quick. We got it done quick. It was quick.
We structured it so that he spent as little time in the hospital gown as possible.
Bam, bam. It was great. It was easy.
I was like, okay, put your clothes back on now. We're done.
When I refer to rookie is, I've never worked with any of you before except for Corey, and we didn't have any interaction. And I've never been in a musical. You guys have all worked together before. So,
righteous.
You know, I'm like the new kid on the block when it comes to all you.
Righteous. So
but she's spectacular.
I don't know anybody coming. Well, I knew one person coming in last year when I got back into it. So,
yeah.
That was kind of scary.
It is. But you guys, I mean, we walked into that park together and immediately I just felt a connection. And it felt great.
The funny thing about that photo shoot is the first time that all six people in the cast were in the same place together ever. Because I have an incredible cast of people that work almost nonstop. And the frustrating part about it is that none of us could ever figure out a time to be in the room at the same time. We've actually rehearsed 3 weeks shorter than most other shows that I've worked on because everybody was so committed because they're all doing so much incredible work elsewhere. But that doesn't mean that the rehearsal process has been any less productive. It's been a great process, but it was really kind of nice that the first time everybody was together, they were in costume, they were exploring the characters together. We had an incredible photographer, Amelia Beamish of AB Photography, and it was just really kind of a way to set it and be like, okay, here's where we start from. It's nice to kind of have that record. And it was also cool to be like, oh, there's my cast and they're all in costume and like, this is the show, here we go.
What is a message that you think this play has that hasn't been mentioned already?
For me, it was just, it was a story of your love for somebody else, even maybe transcending the need for faith or that being your ultimate faith. Whether it's a gay or a straight story, it doesn't matter, you know?
Love is love.
I agree with them because literally every character in this play is so opposite of each other. Like, we'd never go bowling together, that's for sure. You know, but because of the love of one person, it brings us all together and I think forms a bond, honestly. Yeah.
It's a weird, weird family in that hospital ICU waiting room.
Oddly, like, that's life, you know?
It's kind of like, yeah. I mean, it's like theater.
It's true.
If not for that, none of us would know each other and none of us would be in this room giving this interview right now. But Abel and I obviously work together a lot and we are getting married, but we were talking the other night about how Jeffrey Nofs, who wrote it, says that the show is about people searching for grace. Everybody in the show is also searching for their own forgiveness, either from themselves or from someone in the show, and they all throw their own roadblocks in their own way. It's not through anybody else or from what anybody else does. They don't let themselves achieve their ultimate happiness through one way or another. What I hope people take away from it is to just shut up and stop sabotaging yourself through whatever way. Look at yourself and how you're doing that for yourself. Abel's looking at me right now because I do this all the time. And I'm trying to take that away from this show. And, you know, just look at what's actually important and look at the love in your life and what brings you that and how you can give that to other people. And stop second guessing and worrying about what anything means to anyone unless it brings love out into the world and to you and to the people that are important to you.
It's about puppies.
It's about pumpkin spice.
No, hey, that's closer.
There's a lot of pumpkin jokes in this
show. There's a lot of coffee in this play.
So in March of 2016, I directed Our Town at the Playhouse, starring Abel Zierer as the stage manager. And there are some jokes about that very specific situation in the show. In the show, Will's character Luke is in a production of Our Town, and he says, "I wanted the part of George," which was played by Nick McLean in my production, "but I got the part of the stage manager." And Abel says, "Well, you got to start somewhere." So, but then the show is brought back and quoted several times, and it talks about how that show deals with death and life and, you know, appreciating what you have in the moment. And so it's just kind of fun to not revisit Our Town, but have kind of the ghost of that show around on the set. And it's a very sparse set.
And
again,
Matt was also in Our Town.
Oh, Matt was also in Our Town. He played Howie Newsom.
Who is the worst?
He played Howie Newsom, who had a horse named Bessie. Right. And depending on how Rob Searle petted the horse's nose every show, Bessie was a giraffe sometimes, she was a crocodile sometimes, just where Bessie's head was. The horse grew and shrank every single performance.
Previously unheard sentences in human history.
I'm really good at those. It's just fun to have an actual tangible Our Town connection to this show with some of the cast members on the same stage.
I do find it interesting how so many plays reference and like have blatant references to other plays within them. Like,
oh yeah,
next fall with Our Town, Assassins has Death of a Salesman.
Well, death.
Yes.
Adam's Family also had Death.
Oh, Adam's Family also has Death of a Salesman, which closed. I mean,
it's interesting.
Yeah. Imitation and Flattery and all those sorts of things.
Who are some other key players in this production on and off the stage?
We are missing one cast member, Matt Gordon, who plays Butch Honeycutt. We don't actually know anybody else's last name, except yours. He plays
Luke.
Matt plays Luke's father. He is from Florida. He is a real estate developer, and he's very successful down there. He was married to Arlene before, 20 years ago, was a wild and crazy kid with her, and then divorced her. Took the kid, got his life together, married somebody named Lynn, has another son named Ben. He is very specific in what he believes, and he will not be challenged. And some conflict comes from that, but Matt is a wonderful actor and is terrifying in this part.
Did he shave his head?
He did.
Damn.
He texted me 2 months ago and goes, "I think I'm shaving my head." And I was like, "For the show or just in life?" And he's like, "No, for the show, but I'm going to do it now." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And he goes, "I'm going to keep the beard for now, but then I'm going to have a goatee." And I was like, "Oh, you've really thought about this."
Did he talk that fast?
Well, it was texting. Oh, okay. So that's how I heard it.
You'll never know.
The world may never know. The reason I cast him is because in the callback, we did kind of a round robin callback where I had about 22 actors in one room, which was how I always wanted to do this. And it was really cool to watch some of my favorite people and favorite actors in town just play with the script for 3 hours.
For 3 hours, yeah.
Every single one of the
scenes.
The
looks of laughter and contempt on the people.
It was long, and Abel read every single scene. He did 3 hours of Next Fall. The show was only 2 hours long, so he actually did more of Next Fall than you will see in the theater.
It's pretty impressive.
But Matt, there was an audible gasp in the room. Everybody felt the lightning, and I was like, well, there he is. So come see him.
He's the worst.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for that.
The producer is Lizzie Allers. She's wonderful. The show is stage managed by Lynn King, who is also wonderful. It's a group of stupidly delightful people over at Next Fall at the Playhouse. We have three stage crew. We have Haley Greenhouse, Mookie Van Orden, and Emily Harrington. And the set is designed by me and Josh Taylor, and it is built by Chris Lupia and Josh Taylor. We're all kind of costuming ourselves because it's pretty modern, and we all have these clothes. And I'm the lighting designer. I don't know. It's a very small group of people.
When and where is Next Fall happening, and where can people find more information?
The show is happening November 8th through the 16th at the Central New York Playhouse in Shoppingtown Mall. To find more information, you can call 315-885-8960, visit the Playhouse website, cnyplayhouse.org, or email rsvp@cnyplayhouse.org.
All right, keep it locked right there. We'll be right back on Stage Right Radio on HD3 Alt 88 from WAER Syracuse. Keep it locked.
As a member of our community, listening to WAER is a way you stay educated on what's happening at home and around the world. The BBC World Service offers global perspective, while NPR hosts provide thought-provoking insights to make you think. 88.3 FM, the news you need to be more informed here at home and across the world. WAER, your local NPR station from Syracuse University.
Positive feedback lets you know that you're doing the right thing when it comes to marketing your business. That's what Joy Rafferty, owner of California Closets, hears all the time.
I feel that WAER's audience is the perfect fit for us. And when people call us, they make a point to tell us they heard about California Closets on WAER.
Underwriting on WAER can be the right choice for your business. Learn more by contacting me, Jennifer Weeks Oseda, at 443-5254.
Welcome back to Stage Right Radio and HD3 Alt 88 from WAER Syracuse. We're still here with most of the cast and the director of Next Fall happening at CNYP. Who wants to play a game?
Sure.
No one does.
Single one of us.
All right. This is a game I like to call, Which of These Things Are Happening Next Fall?
Oh, God.
And I did not mean for that
housing
to rhyme.
Housing applications at Syracuse University.
Well, see, yes.
The thing is,
there's a sign on Ostrom Ave that says, like, applications for next fall. Mm-hmm.
But the thing about the title of this show is that it's the most annoying title, thank you, Jeffrey Knopfs, because when it was announced, people would say, are you directing at the Playhouse? And I would say, yes, I am. What are you doing? Next fall. Yeah, but what's the name of the show? So 17 months has come and gone, and now I can finally be like, no, it's happening right now. It's called Next Fall. It's a play called Next Fall.
Exactly. So I'm going to say things that are true. None of these things never happened or never will happen. But you've got to tell me, is this thing happening next fall? So fall of 2020? Let's find out. The third movie in the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them series starring Eddie Redmayne as Newt Scamander will hit theaters. Is that happening next fall?
I think sooner.
I don't care. Wow.
That is a fair answer.
Doesn't it always come out at Christmas?
I don't know.
We saw the last one on Thanksgiving, so.
Oh, yes. Then yes, it is. Right.
I'm bad at this game.
Laura.
Yes, final answer.
But, can I get a lifeline, please?
There are no friend.
There are no lifelines and the points
can
don't
I
matter.
Phone a friend?
Yes, this is happening next fall, November 2020.
Able for the win.
Ooh, nice.
This game.
All right, we move from J.K. Rowling to J.K. Simmons. The animated movie Claws, spelled with a K, will hit theaters, in which a postman, Jason Schwartzman, is transferred to somewhere near the North Pole where Santa lives, voiced by J.K. Simmons. Is that happening next fall?
I'm going to say no.
Same.
Because it's Christmas.
No, same.
So here's the thing. It is no, but it's happening this fall. It's being released in theaters this fall, like in this November.
Never heard of that.
Much
before.
Like okay. Next fall, coming to see in my Playhouse.
So they're just 16. Pre-gaming Christmas like the rest of society. Okay.
Exactly, yes. Like how some horror movies that are marketed toward the Halloween-type things are released in September, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Carol Spinney, the Muppeteer behind Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch, will be retiring from Sesame Street after over 50 years next fall.
Oh,
I thought that was this fall.
You knew about this?
He knew about
you don't understand.
You didn't tell the class?
I thought it was sooner than next fall.
Okay, then.
The
it's not
no.
Next fall.
I'm going to say, I'm going to go with the Muppet expert over here.
I thought you were just calling him a Muppet.
I'm going to go with
mean,
the Muppet.
Yes.
Oh.
I'm going to split the tension in this room. The answer is no, but it actually already happened last fall.
Good job.
Oh. Wouldn't it be fun if that was the sequel to this show, last fall?
It'd just be the whole play in reverse, like last 5 years.
It's about Luke's dad retiring from being Big Bird? Okay.
And meeting Newt Scamander.
Good.
At the North Pole.
All right, a new movie in the next phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe called The Eternals will hit theaters. Will it hit theaters next fall?
God, I hope not.
Sure.
I'd say yes.
Yes.
Yes, next fall, November 2020.
Just out of curiosity, did you Google things happening next fall?
I did completely. That is almost exactly what I Googled, yes.
Things happening fall, 2018.
Can you imagine what Steven's Google search history looks like?
I bet I could ask the FBI.
In 2020, the news program 2020 on ABC will celebrate just over 40 years of being on the air. Will that happen next fall?
That sounds like a thing you'd launch in the fall of 1980. Sure. Yeah.
I feel like it's wrong.
It's probably wrong. Yeah. I'm probably wrong.
I don't know, Corey. What happened in 1980?
I wouldn't know.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You were there.
I wasn't.
You're 40, right?
No, she knows.
Call out.
Wow.
To the rookie.
Well, I didn't know.
You weren't watching 2020 in 1980?
It was on. I was in diapers, though, so I really, you know, can't remember.
Guys,
I just wanted to see how long
this
would
go. Is it a yes or no?
The answer is no. It happened last fall, or technically last June.
Next fall nor the fall
how
at all.
How did that come up in the Google search?
Yeah, how'd you Google that?
I said just over 40 years of being on the air.
Trick question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The fourth Thor movie, try saying that 5 times fast, subtitled Love and Thunder, will hit theaters starring Natalie Portman. Is that happening next fall?
What a weird title.
I agree.
What was it called?
Love
what?
And
Say
Thunder.
It's Thor 4, Love and Thunder.
Thor 4.
Love and Thunder.
I know, no, I feel like it's sooner.
She's definitely doing a sequel to it, so.
I feel like I remember them saying it's being released sooner than that.
I don't remember when, though.
Are you a Marvel person?
Yeah. Soft Marvel, though. I'm not Casey Ryan Marvel.
Well.
I'm soft Marvel, too.
Or I should say Todd Panic Marvel, because Casey is DC.
I don't know what any of this means.
No, that's the fall after next fall. Fall of 2021.
Oh.
So it's later than I thought it
Trick
was.
Trick question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Next fall.
Play written by Steve Martin will be staged somewhere in Syracuse area. Is that happening next fall?
Yes.
Probably.
Fortunately.
No.
Yes, it's happening.
No.
Yes.
Not next fall.
Not next fall.
Oh.
You pay attention.
Hello.
You're on the board, bro.
I wasn't listening.
Is September not fall?
It's not.
Yeah.
I thought it was in January.
It's next.
I thought it was January.
No, that's Bright Star.
That's Bright Star.
Also by Steve Martin.
Right.
This is Picasso.
I said a play, not a musical.
See, I don't know the difference.
So, yeah, I was right.
God is in the details. It's a very Steve Martin season next year.
It is.
Wow.
Yes, at BTG.
So that's true?
That is true.
It is true. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf will be staged somewhere in Central New York.
That is true. Because I'm producing it and it's starring...
I did that on purpose. I wanted a softball. One last time. When and where is next fall happening? And where can people find more information?
Next fall is playing at the Central New York Playhouse November 8th through 16th. For more information, email rsvp@cnyplayhouse.org or go to the website cnyplayhouse.org.
Thank you all for coming on today.
Thank you.
Who do you want to hear next on Stage Right Radio? Email stagerightradio@gmail.com if you have any ideas. Until next time, I'm Stephen Shepard. This has been Stage Right Radio on HD3 Alt 88 from WAER Syracuse. Exeunt and scene.